listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 25th. I had to double check that. I can't believe it. Already into February. Welcome to everybody. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm glad to be here. But it's the last Wednesday of the month.
That's true.
So you we'll have Dr. Douglas with us next week.
We will. And I actually will have a topic to announce probably at the midpoint of our program.
Oh, good. I look forward to it.
I am not sending a message to anyone to remind them to send it to me or anything. But anyway, I always love to see people that join us live. It is definitely one of the highlights of my week, getting to talk with you in chat, getting to connect. I appreciate your feedback. We appreciate everything you bring to the table. And also, you know, we hear from you that listen to the archives. We appreciate that you get something out of it. And, you know, hopefully it's just a conversation to help you think and, you know, hopefully bring some insight. Of course, this is a weekly educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. And our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And as I always like to point out, in addition to this broadcast, make sure to check out other offerings and other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, I am looking forward to tonight's topic, but as always, we're going to start off with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, Dr. Vicki, tonight we're going to be getting into the importance of maintaining our social connections, and meaning, you know, our real life social networks of people that are important to us. And I don't just mean in your physical life, obviously. Vicki, you're a huge part of my social world, my social connections, my relationships and friends.
I think everybody here on Wednesday night is.
Absolutely. And yeah. So we want to talk about how important these relationships are, first and foremost. That lays a foundation for then why is it so important to kind of, you know, focus on not just maintaining relationships and those social connections and social ties to the people that are in our worlds, but healthy ones. And that's going to look different for every person. But,
You know, I saw a video the other day of a young woman talking about them being a generation raised with technology, you know, and they can have anything they want, you know, DoorDash, Amazon, you know, they got their phones right there. So they don't know about really connecting with other people. And so that's what, you know, there's kind of this new movement starting among young people, like, how do we do that? But, you know, for us folks, you know, it's a little older, been around a little more, you know, not necessarily raised on gadgets at all. So we have some reference, but along the way, many of us have formed our own addictions to gadgets. And, you know, something I mentioned a while back on another show, Michael, is I just started picking up the phone and calling my friends. You know, without the preamble of, oh, are you available? You know, in the old days, they either answered or they didn't. So if you can't answer, you won't answer. You know, or I'll leave a message. So it's a matter of, looking at how we're not connecting with people in a more, what I think is an organic or natural way. And yes, there's a time to, you know, if people have jobs, you don't text or call them during the day, you know, but it's also about valuing what we do have and appreciating the people we do have in our circles. And how right. do you do that?
Are we not supposed to text people during the workday?
I don't think they pay you to do that, Michael.
Listen, this is not your business what they pay me to do or not do.
You know, but, if, Audra just put in the chat, she said, exactly, if I'm not busy, I'll answer. Yeah. That's right. It's exactly it. But, you know, when we talk about, I think in any relationship, I think there's a few, if we can address a few flaws that maybe we've all had in our life or still have, is always looking for validation and always looking for people to agree with us. Yeah. And that's not always the case. And there is a tendency to believe a good friend means you agree with me all the time and you're always going to validate what I'm saying. And that's just not how real people have dynamic. A friend of mine stopped by for coffee today. And I said, I miss the days where we could have banter.
Yeah.
You know, with people. Like even with our kids and they're grown adults now, it's like you have to watch what you say or it gets taken the wrong way. People are offended. Like whatever happened to a good old conversation of ideas and saying, oh, I hadn't thought about that before. Or, well, that's a new angle on it. I'll have to consider that. Or, oh, I just disagree. That's not my experience at all. Fair enough. Like what happened to that? And look, I'm old, Michael. I've got this circle of women friends. I cherish them so much. They're all so different. In fact, another friend of mine a couple of days ago called up, and the one I stayed with last fall and, you know, down south, she's thinking about moving up here in a year or so. I said, oh, that would be great. So again, I'm telling my friend Susan, well, is she going to just fully retire? I said, oh, she'll never retire. I said, she's like your husband. They got to be busy all the time. Makes me mental. But she just loves people, loves getting out there. And I love hanging with her. She's great. She's really a great lady. But it's, we all have our own energy to bring to the table. That makes sense? Like,
absolutely.
And being respectful of that. And, I know my kids are all, they booked tickets to go to a football game in July. And one of my girls said to the other one, should we invite mom? She said, no, mom won't go. We don't know where these seats are. Mom's not going to walk up to the nosebleed section. She hates football. So she told me this and I said, good call. I wouldn't come.
That's somebody who knows you well.
So it's a, and again, if we know each other, but it's still just even the thought that they would think of the invite is appreciated.
Yeah.
I have lots of people say, you know, I'd invite you, but I know you're not coming. I said, well, thanks for saying that.
It's really, and it's not even flippant. It's just, it's really true. You just, it's the thought that counts, that you do want to still be thought of.
Yeah. And that's a nice thing. I don't need the validating. It's just, but we consider each other in a network of, even if I don't talk to them for a long time, we're able to pick up right where we left off because it breathes. And I guess what I mean by that, everybody, is when you have a friendship that breathes, there's no expectation. There's no demand. There's no neediness. It's quite common to have a friend for every mood. And if you can address that in yourself and start saying, maybe there's something not quite healthy about this, and be more of who you are. And I know it's such a trendy word these days about being authentic, but just being yourself. And even though that might be somebody you know you can trust with all your problems, call them up sometime and say, how you doing? That holds so much value. I don't need anything. I don't want anything today. I just want to say, hi, how are you doing? The acknowledgement of that is, it's worth its weight in gold. I mean, there's lots of times where I could tell you, I'm their friend, but they're not my friend. So, you know, there's going to be an imbalance somewhere, but, you know, I can shrug it off. So it's learning about relationships and what those relationships are. But if we don't continue, we're becoming a very dysfunctional society more every day, I'm afraid, that is learning how to relate one-on-one, have a conversation, have dialogue, and learning how to socialize again, if that's something that you want to do.
Right.
I mean, I've done my time, so I have no desire.
Well, I get it. We're all in different places. I do agree that, you know, like we talked about before, you know, we all have to share this world together. We're all going to have to figure out how to coexist. And tolerance doesn't mean you have to like it. You just have to tolerate it. You know, we have to go about our merry way and live and let live. But it doesn't mean you let somebody just harm you. You don't have to put up with anything. But that being said, no, you're completely right. And I think that a lot of what we talk about, I want to just emphasize is, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach to anything when it comes to what is even the right social network for you. What is the right mix of friends for you? You know, some people have a ton of friends, a friend for every occasion. Some people have a very small circle. And, you know, those people, there's enough compatibility that, you know, those friends fulfill several of those roles or, you know, wear those hats. And the amount of social interaction is going to vary by person to person, of course. I'm not trying to tell those introverts out there that you got to go out and be an extrovert, because I'm very much on the introverted side of that scale, and, you know, I'm just keeping my social circle to my trusted friends and my, you know, family and people. And, again, it's about healthy relationships as well. Another really huge thing to emphasize. So, coming back to it, you know, I wanted to also kind of, and I was checking a few things, so if you've already said this, I apologize, but I wanted to touch on how important it is just for not only our mental health and spiritual health, but physical health.
Yeah.
To maintain these connections. It is worse. Loneliness is worse for your physical health than smoking. So,
yeah, it's true.
It's people. Yeah, I mean, it's the ties to the world that kind of keep us going. We are a social animal. You know, it's part of being the human animal. And you know what? Frankly, you know, it's not half bad when you have, you know, good conversations, good friendships, and, you know, within reason, accepting people as they are and for who they are and enjoying the benefits they bring and the perspective, you know, again, within reason. But, by the way, I apologize. I'm getting increasingly stuffy. I've been sniffling all day. I think it's just the weather changes, but, I'm trying to,
well, I'll just insert here, you know, Dr. Kevin has said in the chat, as you get to a certain age, you learn a terrible lesson that once you lose a lifelong friend, they're gone forever. You just can't go back to the fifth grade and make a new one. Whew, that's loaded, Kevin. You know, Susan, my friend who lives here, we go back to grade 10 and we graduated in 1973. So, 55, 56 years. A lot of my friends, I mean, I've known for 30, 40 years, and even the ones I've known for 10 or 20, but somebody leaves the planet, boy, oof. It's a rough one, and it's also a lesson in mortality, but it also teaches you to appreciate what's there while you have it.
Very
you
true.
Know, Jeff has also said he's an introvert too. He said, LOL, although I'm trying to push my limits a bit and expand my socializing in different areas, it's not easy. You know, just for the record, you guys, I was social when I was young. I spent 20 years in the media. I did film, television. I did a lot of things. I did a lot of sales, writer for hire, producing videos. I mean, I did all of that. I could walk into anybody's office. I could socialize and do that. And it was tougher back then, you know, being a woman in the industry. But I did that. And one day I just said, this is way too much work. People, way too much work for me. And so I spent, you know, the next, what, you know, 15 years or so living in the country, in the bush. And I'm, when you learn to be alone with yourself, you're in a way better position to be with somebody else. Even if that's only in friendship, because you let it breathe. And I want to say that again, because there's a difference between being alone and lonely. And that's not to say I haven't felt it in my life, but it happens very rarely where I'll have a moment, because I'm okay with myself. And I'm always learning about myself and always learning about things in life. I mean, it's, every day I go, I never knew that. You know? But even when you're young and you don't, because you're going through so many phases in life, it's hard to get to know who you are and be okay to be alone. But if you're really strong and know who you are and you're okay being alone, you're way more available to be in any kind of relationship that's honest and open and free. And then you really do offer yourself more. Number one, nobody can hurt you. Nobody can, you can't say or do anything. Oh, you can hurt my feelings for a minute, because I didn't know you saw me that way. You know, or geez, I didn't, you know, and that's not to say you can't feel that for a moment, but it doesn't throw you off your game, because you also understand that everybody has a different point of view. I know that's a bit of a lecture in there, Michael. Sorry about that, but it's so important. So Jeff, if you're expanding, you're socializing, go within your parameters of comfort. I think the videos you're doing is great. It doesn't mean you have to, you know, go out and shake hands with everybody all the time. I know, get this, Jeff has taken up blind skating. It's really cool. He showed pictures of what the pucks look like and stuff. I mean, you're really stretching it, Jeff, but you're also growing a comfort with a situation of losing your sight, and you're sharing your story. So I, you know, you have a reason. And when you have a reason to socialize too, I think as an introvert, it's better. I know a lot of people are just, man, they're social and they go for gusto. But so I guess, not meaning to lecture, Michael, I just, I feel really strong about that. Learning how to be alone with yourself, alone with your own thoughts, you know, being open and honest with yourself. I had a friend of mine, she's in her late 60s, called me up the other day. She was having a panic attack. You know, well, when did those start? Well, back when she was 7 years old. Well, she just learned something about herself, exposed. And I said, and she said, thanks for helping me through this. I said, we all have our stuff. But people need to feel safe. So if you're offering that safety, people will offer that safety to you, even though we'll all do dumb things, you know, because we do inadvertently, because our timing isn't always great. How's your nose, Michael?
Oh, not too bad. I'm muting while I'm not talking, so I don't sound like Darth Vader just breathing on the mic here. But no, I.
Wendy was saying in the chat she's got stuffiness from pollen and stuff.
I don't know how to. I was thinking about how to segue into this, but that's as good as anything. Speaking of Wendy, I don't think we can, you know, go on without congratulating her on completing her course. Let me scroll up. She finally finished her M8 1 and 2 courses and exams. So I just want to throw congratulations out to you. And that's
for those who don't know, that's in the master's courses. And Wendy is very close to a PhD.
It's exciting.
She's close.
You know, May's just around. That's for last the calendar year. It's going to come up, and I can't wait to read your name off again. But wanted to throw that shout out.
May 2nd, I checked.
Yeah, but graduation? I think we're just doing. But it's not from like May to May. It's the calendar year 2025, right? So I was going to say looking forward to saying the name, but which we will, and then again next year. But I digress. By the way, speaking of which, schools and education and networks and taking classes with people and getting to know like-minded people, all these things are wonderful for maintaining these healthy relationships and social connections in our lives. Like you said before, just like what we do right now, talking with one another, sharing with one another.
Susan's husband, Rob, is very extroverted. And when he retired, she knew she had to get him involved in something. So he's involved with the Humane Society. Now, they have recently adopted a 5-year-old dog. And he was taking Jenny, the dog, with him to this other group, the Auxiliary Ladies Club, for a donation to the Humane Society. So their dog is becoming a little bit of a mascot. And he just has a blast. He has to go check out animals. He has to pick up wild cats and set traps and, all kinds of stuff. He's busy all the time. And if that's something that you can do in a volunteer thing, but you can volunteer for seniors residents or, there's just so many things to volunteer for. But if you're really social, like you say, Michael, there are bowling leagues. If you're into sports, there's baseball teams, all kinds of stuff. So you just have to look at, mind you, I live in this senior park here. And they knock on my door and got a sheet of paper of all the things that you can get involved in. There's a bridge club, the quilting club, no thanks. I'm sorry, I'm such a snob. I just don't want to sit around with a whole bunch of old people. I just don't. Isn't that terrible, Michael?
I get it. But you said it before earlier too. It's a fundamental truth. It's going to be different for everybody, and just being alone does not mean loneliness.
What Susan and I talked about too is that we have lots of hobbies. I like my little bits of gardening. I do a lot of artwork, so I have hobbies. Her and I'll go take a course once in a while. We've taken several art classes together. I tell you, she had never done watercolor before. That's all she does now. Any of the cards that she sends to people, birthday or otherwise, she does watercolors. Makes her own cards. Like, she's really good at it. She had no idea she had that kind of talent. So there's so many things to explore. But again, getting out there, because like you say, Michael, there's lots of ways. Now, the world can be clicky. Let's be honest here. A lot of people get territorial about their clicky groups, and they're not always kind about newcomers. But you just have to find your way in and, feel the room. You could join Toastmasters, public speaking groups.
Yeah.
There's lots of things like that.
Absolutely true.
Socializing. Absolutely. We're fast losing the skill.
Yeah, but...
as a society.
No, I agree. And I do think that digital relationships are real and valuable. But it is hard to replace being in the same room with a group of people and having discussions and interactions and things too. It just is, But
I miss having all the kids and everybody, you know, over for dinners all the time. You know, cooking big dinners that take you 3 days to do. I know Wendy loves to do this still. You know, 3 days of preparing food and everybody eats it in 10 minutes and you're cleaning up for another 24 hours. But it's true. You know, I miss that.
Yeah, I know. It's...
lots of things that... when I lived in Alberta, of course, you know, pretty much raised there my whole life, I knew a lot of people and I'd have 15 or 20 people over, you know, and I'd get some native elders in and have good talks and, you know, little firesides and philosophical stuff. And yeah, it was great. Out here, it's a little different, but, you know, the trade-offs of being around my grandkids and stuff. And, you know, I do have a couple of friends here. It's good. So you have to do what's suitable for you. What is it? Aaliyah's just said Toastmasters was surprisingly enjoyable. I was in Toastmasters way back in the 70s. And
so remind me what Toastmasters is exactly.
You learn public speaking. You know, they have clubs all over. And it's just the art of talking, the art of conversation, socializing, and, you know, they have a book of how you give a 2-minute speech on a pencil. I actually had to do that once. So you know, stand up and talk to the group about a pencil. And it's just the art of conversation and presentation. And everybody gets to critique or offer suggestions about articulation, presentation, you know, so that you're growing. And actually, they have competitions for public speaking as well. It's really cool. A lot of fun.
It does sound interesting. Maybe I want to hop in that, too. I mean, I can get pretty nervous talking in front of people, though. So, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't.
Well, it's not for everybody.
Yeah, true enough.
I always say if you're there to do a job and you get yourself out of the way, then you can do the work.
Yeah. You know, I was, you know, kind of in jest, obviously, before, because we do this and whatnot. But one thing I found interesting, just as a little side note, I am typically a very kind of anxious person. I'm a worrier. I'm just kind of anxious, especially I can be socially anxious and feel awkward and things like that. But I will tell you, not that I don't feel any anxiety or nervousness when I'm up there, but I can get up in front of a group of people and talk, you know, in front of a big groups. I've talked to whole rooms of, you know, a couple 300 people. And, you get anxious, but, I thought I was pretty bad at it. But then I've talked to people and said, oh, I could never do that. And I'm like, really? You seem so mellow and you're never worried about things. But
we put on a good face. Oh, there was a day when I felt all that too, Michael. And then it's just not my favorite thing to do, but if I have to, you know, as long as I have something to say.
I actually enjoy it. I never have anything good to say, by the way, so, you know, but long-time listeners know that. But no, yeah. I enjoy having the back and forth with the crowd, you know, because I've many times for work I've done, you know, presentations and discussions to a big room of folks, you know. I'd say maybe in the order of like 100, right? 100, 150 at most. But it's fun, you know? It's fun to joke with the crowd. I love it when I make a joke and it lands and I can hear the laughter in the crowd, right? I love when I can, you know, connect with people. I just enjoy the back and forth. I will be nervous as hell when I walk up, but when I'm in it, you know, I can move with it and stuff, but I digress. That's not what we're here to talk about. But
even then, you go home and you know, run everything through your head 1,000 times. Oh, well, I should have said this. I should have said that.
You know, I never do actually.
I think a lot of people, you know, and that's a perfectly normal thing to do, in a way. But
what I will say is, when I'm done, like, basically, I'm thinking, okay, no, I won't have it. I'll never do that. Because I do think, well, I could have done that or that. But I'll tell you, I don't have any regrets because I'm like, oh, thank God. I survived it. I got through it. I enjoyed it. I think it worked. But it's done. It's done and over. So, like, I enjoy it, but at the same time, it's a lot.
I know.
But I digress.
But again, that thing about strengthening your friendships is, I think, and social connections, but I'm going to focus on friendships for a minute. Let people know you're thinking about them without wanting something. That is
well said.
Huge.
Well said.
It's just huge.
It's not our relationships, friendships, and social connections are not transactional. You know, we're not commodities.
Well, my late teacher Frank would say we only use the people, you know, our friends.
Yeah, true enough. You can only hurt the ones you love.
You don't go past the neighbor to pack you up and move your house. You know, so we do things for each other all the time, and without there being. I still have a friend, for about 40 years now. When I first met her, and we would go out for lunch, she would insist we split the bill down to the penny. Now, I don't do that stuff. I say, no, I'll get lunch. Oh, yeah, but, you know, I said, next time you buy lunch. Yeah, but what if it's more? I said, or what if it's less? I didn't care. So I ended up buying three lunches before she finally got the message. We don't do that here. You know, we take turns, you know, throw a few bucks in. And it's like, we don't do that. So it's not a tit for tat. But I will say that if you've tried to call somebody three times and they don't call you, you just play the wait game. So that it is a fair and equitable kind of thing, because I think when things get out of balance is when you're more invested than somebody else.
Right.
Now, I have one friend. She finds the evenings alone tougher. Now, I just check out in the evenings usually. So she'll message me or something. Do you feel like chatting? And I finally told her, I'm glad you do that, because I don't usually talk to anybody in the evening. You know, I check out. But if you're there and you want to talk, I'm totally open to that. So I said, by all means, you want to have a visit for an hour or so in the evening? I certainly don't mind. But reassuring her, because she was feeling badly, you know, that maybe I wasn't also reciprocating in the evening. Well, I'm not. I'm more of a daytime, you know. So anyway, it's reassuring each other of what's okay. I have another friend. She sent me a couple of memes. I didn't see them. And she wrote to me and said, I'm feeling very insecure that you did not acknowledge my memes. I said, well, it would help if I saw them. I just haven't had a chance. Oh, I was starting to feel insecure. I said, don't ever feel insecure that way. But okay. So now that I know how she feels, I can do that. You know, a happy face, a funny thing. Because it's also what she's going through. You know, it's just being okay with things, because life isn't always great. Being patient and tolerant when people go through stuff. I have one friend, I've known her for 40, 50 years. Man, she had a rough 5 years, and with good reason. Oh, you know, anytime I saw her name on the call display, I said, okay, get the coffee. You know, this is going to be a rough one. But, you know, you hang in there with people. Because it's not a chronic thing. It's not something. It's just a bad time.
Right.
And they get through it.
Right.
You know. And so remember that. Be patient. And if you want that long-term friendship, know that the ebbs and tides and ups and downs are all going to be there. But be there for each other. And I'll tell you, the value of that when you're older, and I know there's a few people in the chat and maybe listening in the archives, who can totally attest to that. You know, you get older, and your friendships are all there is. That's it. Because everything else in life just isn't that important anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you. And it's one of those things about life stages, you know, we're all living our truths in the moment, you know, it means a lot. It's a very different thing to be, you know, in different life stages in your 20s or 30s or 40s, et cetera, et cetera. And things change. So, you know, I'll bear that in mind because, you know, I'm going to be turning 95 later this summer. That's a big one. So, you know, you think about it, you look back into life, long, well-lived, et cetera. But,
now, truly, honestly, tell us, how old are you going to be this summer?
I'm going to be the big 4-0. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I might as well, like, just not even, you know, do anything anymore. God, what do you do after 40 anyway, right? I'm kidding.
You know,
actually,
I'm going to tell you a funny story about turning 40. You know, because until you're 40, you know, people are, like, nobody really takes you seriously. You still don't really know anything, especially older folks, right? It's like, when am I old enough to have a voice? So when I turned 40, I went out and spit on the sidewalk because I could. and you know what? Nothing changed.
Yeah. Well, I mostly joke too because I think I've enjoyed getting older more than a lot of folks do because I'm just, you know, every year that passes, it seems to be a little better than the year previous in terms of I got myself more together or something like that. But not that it goes in a straight line, life ebbs and flows, of course, but yeah, I'm much happier where I am right now than I was 10 years ago, I'll tell you that much. So,
well, nothing much changes between before 40 and after 40. You hit 60, and Noah Wendy just said, I was just thinking I miss being 40.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, because you have a lot more physical energy, and I used to be able to pick up hay bales and throw them 10 feet, so I was very proud of my biceps, I'll have you guys know.
Rightfully so.
But, you know, I don't do that anymore.
Well,
so
I
just
get it.
Appreciate your friends, that's all.
Well said, well said. It's been a good discussion. I think that, you know, we acknowledged the importance of why do we want to maintain these connections. It's for our health in every facet, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. We talked about wanting to look at those good and healthy, nurturing relationships and reciprocating and having things on a level playing field in terms of, you know, you don't want to just be the one that's always giving and not getting return. It's not transactional, but, you know, the reason that we are here is, you know, not only is it fulfilling emotionally and spiritually and all that, but those are very practical need, you know, strength in numbers. We can get stuff done. It's a lot easier to move a house with five people than it is two than it is one, right? But you reach out to those people, like you said, Dr. Vicky, when you don't need something from them to let them know that it's not, you know, you're not just, that it's a real connection. There's a real substance to it. But,
yeah, just because.
Absolutely.
Just say, I got nothing new to talk about. I just wanted to say hi.
Absolutely.
You know, and see how you do. And I haven't talked to you in a week or two or, you know, something. But it's... Yeah. You know, I was thinking today that, actually I told my second daughter this, you know, it's hard enough, you know, we're sovereign beings, we come to the planet, but you have to pay to be here. And we're paying to be here on a planet where everything eats everything, as Dr. Douglas Kelly would say. So where is the value then of being here? You know, what is that value? Well, it is the connection with other human beings and nature. You know, we do live on a beautiful planet with a lot of beautiful things, but we have lost a lot of skills that are in us to resurrect if we're invested enough. And it's just, we have to invest in being here, not just financially to pay the rent or the mortgage or, you know, so on.
Right.
And yes, life gets stressful. But without those connections with people, it would be really, let's say, why are we here? You know? So keep that in mind, you guys.
Well said.
You know?
Well said.
Well, we have some cards. Sorry.
We do. I've been...
We're saying the same thing at the same time.
A little bit. We do have cards to pull, but real quick, I want to throw a shout out because we are going to have Dr. Doug Kelly join us next week, and I did get the topic title. Are we bound by more than what divides us? So that's going to be the topic of discussion. So we definitely want to look forward to that. And we are going to be pulling some cards. I'm going to go ahead and try and speed read through a few of these here real quick because we have gone a little long on our discussion topic. But, yeah, I think it's that time. So, Dr. Maggie, who do we have first off?
Aaliyah.
All right, for you, I have wild card number 2 and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch to your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you're leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it. It's a good one.
It is a good one, but I got the 5 of hearts backing that one, Aaliyah, which is, it's more of an introspective, reflective moment. So the and then some. So it kind of to follow what we've been talking about tonight. Are you investing more than what somebody's investing in you? You know, the checks and balances. So the and then some might be asking of you, do you want to give more? And look, it might even be at a job. Do you want to give more than you've been giving if you're not being rewarded for it? You know, if... Basically, if you're not getting paid for the job, you know, do you want to keep doing it? But also in relationships. So it's a reflective moment, or it is that maybe I can invest more and I have not been giving this the full attention that I've needed to. So it's that moment where you think about it because it goes, you know, all things, you know, balance out or should balance out in some way. So I think it's just a good reminder, an affirmation of sorts.
Very much so. All right, Dr.
Kevin.
All right. Kevin, I got you. It's number 29, pay it forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now?
Well, I got the 7 of Pentacles. 7 of Diamonds is about harvest, reaping the rewards of what you've invested, basically. You might feel in some ways, Kevin, that... you have been paying it forward and continue to pay it forward maybe in ways that you think are exhausting. That's what I want to say, Michael. But it's coming back to you. And it's coming back to you twofold, threefold. So it's like keep in mind that you're doing the right thing for all the right reasons. And just continue paying it forward because we know that you do that. And, you know, certainly you give where you can, you support where you can, even if it's frustrating at times. And there may be limitations in your life where you can't do more than you already do, and that's fair enough. But it's, you're going to, I think there's a little surprise coming for you, one of recognition or acknowledgement in some way. That you're going to feel, wow, it all came back to you. I think that's really cool. A prediction. So we have Dr. Jeff.
Dr. Jeff. So glad to have you with us again. And for you, I have number 31, sacred obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what you're entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
Well, I pulled 2 here, which is interesting, Jeff. I got the 3 of spades. And I said, oh, what's that about? And Sacred Obligations, Three of Spades. And so I said, yeah, I got to pull another one. And it's the Chariot. So a disappointment is followed by, or a forward movement is followed by disappointment. So in something you really believe in, you know, I always say the first sacred obligation is to ourselves, and not in a selfish, egotistical way, by the way. But that whatever sacred obligation here, there may be a little bit of a disappointment or a bump in the road for you, but it's okay to go through that because it teaches you something, that there's this huge burst of energy and forward movement. So, you know, again, a prediction because it came in my head, Michael. There's something really cool coming in July, Jeff. So I know it's down the road, but something about July.
I like
it. It's cool. So keep going.
All right.
We have Audra.
Audra, for you today, I have number 5, Law of Control. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The Law of Control says you can't change or control others, but you have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Don't give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the right, the same right to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
Yeah, the Two of Clubs is, where is this going? It's like a look in the future. Two of Clubs. That it's a working, busy kind of number. The Law of Control. Certainly what you can and can't control, but you might see where it's going. And you know what comes to mind, Audra, is sometimes things have to fail before they get better. So if you already see that something's not going to work, but other people are insistent, yeah, you got to let them do their thing and learn the lesson. Because sometimes telling people doesn't cut it. So that's what I want to say to you. Even if you're using an intuition, like you intuitively see, or by life experience, you know that that doesn't work. Just let people learn their own stuff. So that's kind of where I want to go with that one. I hope it makes sense.
Okay. So. We have our card keeper herself, Wendy, next. And Wendy, not seeing a lot of repeats tonight. I think we're getting a little bit kind of like we did last year, where we got a lot of new cards. But you did say it's a year of change, and you weren't getting. So also just another shout out to Wendy for being our card keeper and for tracking that. Just thank you. For you tonight, I have number 20, Deliberate Intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic. It does require effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Well, the Four of Pentacles, the Four of Diamonds here, hanging on to what you have, but also it's about security, stability. And this is reassuring you, Wendy, that everything's okay. Don't hold on too tight. Let things change and go with the ebbs and tides. And just know that everything that you have built so far is secure. I don't know why I want to say that one. I don't know. Sometimes we have anxiety, Michael, about, oh, I don't know. You know, Michael and I were talking about cognitive dissonance before the program, that we all get it sometimes. There's things we want, but we don't want to give this up, you know, and so on. But you'll be fine, Wendy. Deliberate intent. Put it out there. And I want to say there's a bit of money coming your way.
Well, that's always like nice to hear.
Yeah. I just want to inject here, Dr. Kevin. Thanks. Thanks for writing that. He says, pay it forward is one of the things I do, from picking up random family's lunch tab or slipping a vet a gift card. I always believe in random acts of kindness. You know, that's what it's about, Michael.
Absolutely,
That's an
100%.
awesome thing, Kevin. I just had to say that, there are small things, that we can do for people to brighten a day or bring a smile. Sometimes
And
small things.
you don't know how far they echo to, is what I was going to say.
Yeah. Okay, Danielle, I think is our last card of the night.
It is. And Danella, for you, I have number 32, sympathy and empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind act of paying it forward. Sympathy, which is sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, which means relating to another's plight, excuse me, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so.
Well, the pages are communicators. So the page of clubs is, there might be some changes afoot. Some things happening in and around life where, you're called upon to be a good communicator, Danielle. So I always say the difference between sympathy and empathy also is sympathy is paralyzing. Empathy is compassion. And compassion sometimes simply means you don't take over for people, but you just let them know you're there and available. Kind of like being called into action, but sometimes there's no action, just being available. But in this case, it has to do with communication, and it's asking you just to stop and breathe and ask yourself what the motives are. What are your motives, perhaps, and what are the motives of others? Is it for sympathy? Is it for empathy? Validation? Ego? All of those things. Because again, that page of the communicator, and we're all learning, more of that. So, again, sympathy is the kind of thing, it's where you send a card, when somebody dies, but you don't show up. Empathy is being there for support. And I'm not saying there's a funeral you're going to. That's not what I'm saying. Empathy just has this ability of saying, hey, I'm here.
Right.
So I hope that makes sense to you. Yeah, I just feel like there's things going on around you and, learning different kinds of communication and when to be available. So, Jeff says, if I can inject this, he said, speaking of paying it forward, last week on the news, they were talking about paying it forward. Somebody gave the example of calling a local nursing home and sending some flowers and having staff give it to somebody they thought needed it the most that day. He says, I thought that was a neat idea.
It's a
That
very good
is a
idea.
neat idea.
It really
Who
is.
better to know than the people who work there,
Absolutely.
So there's so many ways to feel connections, and again, strengthening our connections with not just friends but associates or the world in general. The world needs more good things to happen to reassure people, don't cave, don't give up. I think if not to end this on a negative note, but we hear it in the news all the time and we know of it ourselves in our lives where people can't bear the pain anymore, so they check out. And I think that that's when people give up hope, they give
Yeah.
up, their spirit gives up. But the power of a phone call, the power of flowers, and just simple things like that, or buying a random family some lunch. It's, oh, there are good people in the world.
Yeah.
You would be amazed at how that can impact somebody. So, I mean, We're all having to remind ourselves of that every day, Michael, because nobody gets more irritated than me at people not using their signal lights when they're driving.
Yeah.
What?
Yep,
they have
I get
signal
it.
Lights. They invented signal lights for a reason.
Yeah, but you should really just, you know by their intent and the subtle shift of direction they're going. But
yeah, sure.
No, but you know, I gotta say, I appreciate your points. You always bring us home in such a good way, and on such a good point. I was trying to think of a synonym, but it was not coming to me. But
Audra said, yes, just do the good deed and move on. Exactly.
That's right. Well, you know, it is that timely evening, and I want to thank everybody for putting up with me. I don't know how many times I was breathing into the mic without realizing it. So thank you for that. Appreciate you joining us this week, Dr. Mickey. I always appreciate you. That's easy to say. I
appreciate you too, even though you're getting old.
I'm getting very old. I'm going to be 97 next week. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, not next week. Yeah. The summer. But anyway, I digress. I'm
quit counting. I decided after 70, I'm not counting anymore. So there you go.
Well, that sounds good to me. But again, you know, hey, I think I'm going to stop counting after 45. That has a nice round feel to it, you know? You're up there to be wise, but, you know, not too old. Obviously, nobody would want to be older than 45. I mean, that'd be gross. But, little dig.
The twister is, I think, you know, when I look back at some pictures, like my kids are real photo buffs. Mm-hmm. I'm not, but they are. I look back at pictures of myself when I was 50. I said, damn, I'm hot. You know? I think, and then I got old. Like, I look in the mirror, I don't recognize myself anymore. So the point of that, you guys, is don't sweat the small stuff.
Well said.
Don't. I mean, you know, put on a good face, get out in the world, and just enjoy yourself. All those little things you're sweating about just aren't that important. I wish I'd had a better attitude when I was young.
Well.
You know, getting so nervous. I wouldn't even take out the garbage without putting my makeup on.
Oh, I'll do the same. I got to have a foundation or something. Is that a word that you would use? I don't know.
Yes,
terminology.
Absolutely.
Hey, nice.
Yeah.
But, well, well said, well said. But just gotta live life. Enjoy stuff. Make those social connections. You know,
yeah.
Live your best life. Be your best version of yourself. Do what you do. And, you know, as we wrap it up, Dr. Mickey, what are your last thoughts?
Don't let them push you around out there, people.
Yeah, darn tootin'.
You know? Stay true to who you are.
That's right. 100%. Well, thank you so much for being with us tonight. And until we see you again next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.